Well, welcome this morning. Of course, with Easter coming up, it's a time of, or a good time to reflect on those aspects of life which have to do with death and resurrection. And what the Lord demonstrated in his own life is this universal process of life itself. Life is a series of deaths and resurrections, and this is true in a natural level, but it is certainly true for us on a spiritual level as we move through stages of knowledge and understanding and affection, and that these things begin to die and new affections and understanding and knowledge begins to replace them. And so this is a constant process for us, and it happens at every level. It happens with us at an individual level, but it is also true for human organizations, human endeavors. These things change with time. And they change because certain ways of being become outmoded and new ways have to come into being in order that teachings can be reframed and presented in ways that can connect with the particular people, generation, culture that happens to be alive and well and living at that particular time. So we're going to look at this idea of John and the relationship to Jesus today, and we're going to be looking at it more from an external point of view this morning. We're going to be looking at it from an organizational perspective and what that could possibly mean for us as a spiritual community committed to spiritual goals and endeavors. So let us pray. So we continue with our reading of the Gospel of John. Today we're reading chapter 1, verses 36 to 39. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came, and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Now, reading this morning is from the work The Arcana Celestia, paragraph 9296. The new will, which is formed from the good of innocence, is the dwelling place by means of which the Lord comes in and resides with a person, rousing the person to will what is good, and from willing good to doing it. This influx is effective with a person to the extent that he refrains from evils. It gives him the ability to know, see into, reflect on, and have an understanding of truths and forms of good. The truths and forms of good occur on the level of both private and public life, and he receives that ability according to his delight in service. After this, the Lord flows by way of that good into the truths the person knows from the teachings of the Church. He then summons from his memory the kinds of truths that may help him serve usefully in life, implanting those truths in the good and perfecting it. So it is that the good present with a person depends entirely on his service in life. If that service is rendered for his neighbor's benefit, that is, for the good of fellow citizen, country, church, heaven, and for the Lord, then that good is the good of charity. But if his service in life is rendered solely for the sake of self and the world, then those first beginnings of a new will are closed. Below them a will is formed from the evils of self-love and love of the world, and arising from this an understanding from falsities. This will is closed above and open below. That is, it is closed in heaven's direction and open in the world's. All this shows in what way truths are planted in good and give it form. It also shows that when a person is governed by good, he is in heaven with the Lord. For as stated above, the new will, where the good of charity resides, is the Lord's dwelling place and is therefore heaven with a person. And the new understanding extending from it, so to speak, is, so to speak, a tabernacle or booth through which people pass in and out. Finding where Jesus dwells. We've seen that John, or the literal sense of the word, introduces us to Jesus, or the power of the word to save us. Because the name Jesus means Jehovah Savior. And that power of the word to save us is a power found in the deeper meaning, or a deeper understanding of the word, what we call its internal sense. The external aspects of the word, these are for the external man. And as such, it supports the external man in being able to make changes in outward behavior. But it is this sense that as we go about making those changes, so then we begin to be introduced to what is deeper, to the internal sense of the word, which is the Lord himself. And this is our Savior, because it is this that has the power to transform the very thoughts and affections of our life. It can transform them from something orientated towards self to something orientated towards heaven. And this is the saving power of the Lord, that is the internal sense of the word. It's being able to enter into the life of heaven now, because when the Lord dwells within us, as we saw in our reading from the Arcana, we are in heaven, because heaven is the Lord himself. The Lord looks to save us from the loves of self and the world. He wants to save us from these loves dominating our life. Loves that close down our mind and to be able to see spiritual possibilities. These possibilities, these are open to us and they are revealed through the Word. For the truths of the Word offer us a life grounded in a true humanity, what is truly human. And it is that life that we were created for. A life of love and compassion that flows from the Lord through the heavens into those truths we have taken into our life. We have seen in our readings over the last few weeks that the saving power of the Word is identified as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And we have seen how this statement reveals what the message of the Word is to us. That it teaches us that love to the Lord and love to our neighbor, it teaches us what these things are, how these loves find expression. And it's when these loves are active in our life that we come into that life that is able to save us, deliver us from what is lower. And these two loves, love to the Lord and love towards our neighbour, they are really one. There is really no separation between them. And in them is the innocence of heaven itself. And that innocence finds its place within us, within our own minds, when we choose to live from the Word, from our understanding that the Lord gives us. The Apostle John points out that these loves are really one. And he does so in his epistle. In 1 John 4, 20-21, he says this, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one not loving his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love God whom he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him," that is the Lord, "that the one who loves God also loves his brother." To love the Lord is to be in the effort to live from our understanding of the Word, because the Lord is the Word. And when we live from the Word, then we love the Lord. And when we are living from the Word, it is then that we learn how to love each other. These loves are from heaven. For anything spiritual or of spiritual substance produced in our life by means of the Word must and can only be heavenly. And if it is heavenly, then it must contain the Lord, because the Lord himself makes heaven, heaven. Loves from heaven look to what is spiritual. And so when they take form in us, they are able to bring to us a spiritual understanding and insight that can be applied to every area of life. Thus they are able to transform the most mundane and difficult aspects of life into something productive and meaningful from a spiritual perspective. The spiritual life is a life that looks only to the good of another from a spiritual perspective. And so in this sense, it never seeks to do another harm. It is a state of life where we are conscious of our need for the Lord, of our need for the Word to direct and guide us in all situations and circumstances we have to deal with on a daily basis. And this love builds in us as we look to the Lord or to the Word to have our evils removed, both on an individual level and on a collective level, that level of being together as a spiritual community. And it is because this love is focused on promoting what is genuinely spiritual, and because it looks to never do harm to anyone else, that it is filled with the innocence of heaven. And that innocence is captured representatively in the statement of the Lamb of God. Because that Lamb, that goodness, seeks to do no harm. All it seeks is the welfare of every person who is a member of the human race. Behold the Lamb of God, the love of heaven itself. John is directing us to the Word. Behold, the loves of heaven are here. Here in the Word. Have we heard the Word's message? Have we heard John's message? Are we able to appreciate this call and behold what our life as a spiritual community has the potential to become? The voice, the vision, the invitation, the possibilities that the Word proclaims are open for us. Can we be inspired by what our lives might become if we commit further to the spiritual work of our regeneration to bring about that conjunction with the Lord or the Word? Are we able to get a fresh sense of our potential as a spiritual force for good within the communities we live within and serve? The Word offers us a quality of life that we cannot even begin to imagine. It has the power to bind all things, bind them into a spiritual community, unlike anything seen or experienced before. The only limitations to this are those that we place upon it ourselves. What's impossible for man is possible for God. So let's not limit him. The scripture declares all things are possible. So let's allow the Lord to really take hold of what is his own in our midst. Let's give up our ownership of those things we need to give up and hand them over to the Lord so that he can raise us up to be a living image of the heavenly potential that is available to us as a community committed to spiritual goals. What is the main function of the written word? It is to make the Lord God, Jesus Christ, visible in our midst. This is true for us individually, and it is true for us collectively. Doctrines declare that a church is only a church in accordance with its understanding of the Word. In other words, a church is a church to the degree that the individuals within it take those principles that are taught and embody them and make them alive within their own being. When these principles of the Word become lived, they become fleshed out, and they present an expression of the Lord's love in love to the Lord and love to the neighbor. And that expression becomes something tangible that can touch others in the world in which we live. And when this love is expressed in a community of people, so then the Lord is made visible in that community. Because he is that love, he is that goodness, and he is those truths that pass between people to support one another in their spiritual journey. Think about it. When people come into contact with a community like that, they cannot but be touched in a profound way, because they have come into contact with something that is of heaven, something heavenly. And what a contrast that offers to what the world says will make them happy. When they touch this, when we touch this, we come into contact with what we have been searching for our whole life. The sense and the sphere of life that comes forth from a community of people fully engaged with the spiritual teachings drawn from the Word of life and lived is heaven on earth. This potential to be something radically different from what the world offers is what the Word is designed to empower us to be if we want it. We can be this. The Lord is faithful and has given us all that we need. We can be it more so than we already are. the Lord has given us all we need to move forward, to be a light to the generation we are called to serve. But it takes a willingness to be open to whatever suggests itself as the way forward. It will certainly require courage to try new things, new ways of being and of expressing our faith and our love. Now, we can't escape the fact that as an organisation committed to spiritual objectives, we have a collective responsibility to ensure that we are as effective as we possibly can be in creating opportunities for others to be supported in their spiritual journey. The call to repentance found in the Word and represented by John the Baptist is something we each individually need to take up. But it's also a call to every spiritual community as a whole as well. For a spiritual community in the eyes of the Lord is a single person who is in as much need of being continually regenerated as any individual is. The same principles apply because organizations, spiritual communities, take a human form and reflect the form of its members. So we need to be prepared to respond to John's message on different levels. What will it take for us to become a richer, fuller, more viable centre for spiritual life, able to fulfil clear spiritual goals? Well, first we will need a clear sense of our collective purpose, our reason for being. We need to ask ourselves, why are we here? What is it about? What are we about? And what is our use or function in fulfilling this purpose? As a spiritual organization that is founded on the Word, understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines, we have one overarching reason for being. We're here to embody and so proclaim and bear witness to the Lord's second advent through the opening of the spiritual sense of the Word. Why? Because this is where the Lord is to be found for people. This is where their salvation lies. We preach the Word because the Word is the Lord. It is divine truth that has the power to resurrect our life into what it should be. By means of the Word, the Lord is able to give people like us new loves, new ways of seeing and being in the world and with others. Through the Word, people gain an entrance into the life of heaven, or a true sense of life and love now, today. It's not just a future thing in some far off heaven. Heaven is now. It's in our midst. It's the living presence of the Lord, of the divine Himself in our midst. The Word lived. It is the Word lived that is able to save us from a life of separation from the Lord, who is love itself. The Word is able to save all people from the destruction selfish living brings into their lives and the lives of those around them. If we could but truly get hold of it, ours is a real message of hope and salvation. For in our teachings we have the basis to offer a way of seeing the Word that no one else has. And the beauty of it is that this new understanding can bring about real, lasting, eternal transformations in people's lives. Here, here is the light of the life, the light that is the life of every person coming into the world. Now, most people who have reflected honestly on their lives want to be free from those recurring patterns of selfish behaviour that swamp them at times, that wreak havoc with their relationships. But perhaps the tragedy is that most, or it is indeed a tragedy, that most do not have the material, the ideas, or the truths that can support them to find a new way of life, a new way of being within themselves. Friends, the word understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines and lived provides us with a way out of destructive states of life. What a powerful witness to be in a position as a spiritual community where we can bring a sense of purpose and meaning into the lives of others who are struggling with the same things we all struggle with. We can be such a community. This is a very real possibility for us as we look to our future. But just as repentance on an individual level requires change in our way of life, so the same is required of a collective person. As a collective person, we have a way of being together. As a community, we share a certain set of values. We do things as a group that is founded on traditions that have their roots in the past. And while traditions in and of themselves are neither good nor bad, traditions or collective ways of being should not be adhered to for their own sake. If they are, it's one sure way of becoming irrelevant. If we view ourselves as a spiritual community, then by definition this means that we are not static. Nothing to do with things spiritual is static. It's dynamic. And so we are called to be a dynamic community that is undergoing a constant transformation, even as individuals who embark on a life of regeneration undergo constant transformation. We need to be prepared to change the way we present ourselves so that we can more fully accomplish our sense of calling to make those teachings that we have, to make that understanding of the word that we have available to as many people as we possibly can. As servants of the Lord, that is what we are called to do. All of us. We need to develop a habit of asking ourselves hard questions. It's healthy to evaluate what we do every now and again. To remain relevant, we need to be willing to assess our activities against what we understand to be our purpose for being. That's the determinant of what we do. And if we see areas that require adjustment in the light of our understanding of what the word teaches, then we need to make the necessary adjustments so that we can remain more fully effective in our functioning as a spiritual community with a responsibility to reach and touch others. When we look around, we see we are living in a time when old institutional forms are fast becoming obsolete. They no longer connect with people the way they once did. This is a fact we can't escape. What does this mean for us as far as the way we're organized or the forms we employ? Organizational things, the forms that we give, that give expression to who we are, these things are simply external garments. They're not precious things. They're only precious to the degree that they can communicate to others the internal things. And if the external thing doesn't work, then it's time to change the garments. The garments are there. They're important. But their value only can lie and their ability to communicate that love that the Lord is wanting to communicate to every human being. So if the garments are tired and are no longer able to fulfill their purpose, they may be in need of changing. It may be that we are at a point where we need to rethink our externals, that our internals might find a fresher, more viable expression. We shouldn't be afraid of this. The Lord is faithful to His purpose, to what He wants to accomplish. And we need to align ourselves with that so that we serve Him in uses and functions that are able to meet and serve as a bridge between the things we have, those precious things we have, and those people out there who are in dire need of them. The New Church traditionally as an organization has adopted and adapted old church forms. And these have served us well. But we need to begin asking ourselves, are they really relevant now? Do they really empower us to reach those of this current generation? Because if they don't, then how are we to survive into the future? To be a viable spiritual community, we need to begin to think about finding new garments that are able to present the word in a way that creates opportunities for people who don't know the Lord to connect with Him in the word in meaningful ways. And looking at Jesus walking, He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard Him speaking and they followed Jesus. But having seen them following, Jesus said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to Him, "Rabbi, where do you dwell?" And He said to them, "Come and see." And they went. And they saw where He dwelt, and they remained with Him that day, and the hour was about the tenth. John represents, for every generation, the old externals. And Jesus, the internal things of the Word, or spiritual life. And as John must be left behind, if Jesus is to be followed, so like those two disciples, we must be prepared to let go of our John if we are to find where the Lord, who on a collective level represents our potential as a spiritual community, where the Lord or our true life is really found. When we are truly prepared to let go of the old in order to find how we might reach others more effectively and so give expression to love to the neighbour, then we will hear a question rising in our midst. What do you seek as a spiritual community? It's a question that arises from within as we look to live from the Word. And if we are living from the Word, then like every true disciple, we will ask or give the answer in the form of a question. Where do you dwell? Or where is your abiding presence to be found? And to find where the Lord dwells is to find our function and purpose as a spiritual community. It is to find our meaning and uses that are looking to the expansion of the Word's message into the hearts and lives of all people. If this is what we are truly seeking, then He will say to us, come and see. And as we look to fulfill our purpose, so we will see where it is the Lord is to be truly found, and in that we will find our life. Amen.